Welcome to the Super Show. New, improved, with the eye of justice, kung fu grip, and cut like an action figure. Adventure playset included. Gold bricks sold separately. This show covers all kinds of epicness. From ancient antiquity to multiplying zygotes. You want it, we got it. Starring the world's most dangerous talking heads. Sam Simeon, the supervillain. Kellen the Wise. And belligerent Ben for the win, Benji Bats. Now brace yourself. It only hurts at first. And when you turn it off, so lay back, spark it if you got it, as we bring you the Super Show.
And just like that.
Man, that's a hard-ass opening.
And just like that.
Sam Simeon, who are we?
We are the Super Show, Series 3. Episode 78.
Ooh.
I am Sam Simeon. The man to the right of me is Kellen the Wise.
Yo. It's true.
And of course, we are here, as always, with belligerent Ben for the win, Benji Bats.
That is I.
And I believe we all deserve a bell and some fanfare because we're over 100 episodes.
That's right.
So,
and new news. Are we to new news already?
Can we get it out there.
Can we?
We all over the place. Let's get it.
We are officially a professional podcast.
This is true. We are officially professional.
Yep. So we got to go back to the. We got to go more fanfare.
Yeah.
Because we are now a professional podcast,
and so we get paid to talk vulgarities.
Vulgarities. So it's
at some point during this broadcast.
Oh yeah!
You're going to hear something from a sponsor that is not one of our normal wink-wink sponsors.
Yeah, this is correct.
Shout out to us.
A legitimate sponsor.
Because we fucking said it. Let's take a moment to proof talk about us. Let's talk about us.
One of Sam's favorite words, proof of concept.
Proof of concept, because it makes everything possible.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that over, not even 2 years. They say that the podcast, the group is 2 years old, but this podcast itself is roughly about a year and a half old.
Correct.
But that being the case, we have been prolifically productive. And we have put out, and this isn't just for, in my opinion, or us as a show, any goals we set to put out shows. I'm talking about the podcast that came and went between the time we're still going, how many they released before they petered out.
Right.
So
there's been a lot of petering. I do a lot of it myself.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Just not petering out.
Wow, that was inappropriate.
You know, highly improbes.
We actually are, for lack of a better term, I guess sponsor is not is that a correct way to determine it? Or we're just in the professional business of being paid to do this podcast.
Yeah. So, as you said earlier, we now have a rate. And it's up to us to continue to negotiate that rate.
Shout out. That was a great new news. That's it.
Yep.
Shout out to us. We fucking told you.
Yeah, we did fucking tell you. Give us our goddamn flowers.
And we also said
next thing
that
you know, it's a beach party.
We've been saying since the beginning.
Man, BBW Luau.
All our millions of listeners, millions with a B.
With a B.
We're all over the place. We have even been translated into Arabic.
We're being translated into Arabic right
Arabic.
Now.
Arabic. Come right on, now. Bruv. Come on, bruv. We're all over the... What I think Kellen Nawaz said that there are 192 countries in the world, and we're broadcasting and downloading in 50 of them. That is applause again. 25%. Let's get it. But as I said last time, let's get back down to business. What do they say at the end of a win in football? We're gonna marinate on this one, and then tomorrow we start looking towards Dallas.
Yep.
So we just keep going. This is just what we do. We said this would happen. We've just only begun. We're going to crush the genre of podcast and change the way things are done and what you hear when you listen to a podcast.
Shout out
expand beyond
Del Mar, New York.
If anybody knows anybody in Del Mar, New York.
I do know someone in Del Mar, New York.
Shout out them and their friends for downloading the show.
Shout out for downloading the show.
Sweet. Also, Rochester, New York is up there. So, New York and Chicago, Illinois has been number two for always. So, shout out to Chicago.
I don't mean why it's insulting to Chicago, because clearly somebody in Chicago is fucking downloading.
Well, I mean, it is a lot of motherfuckers there, don't
Thank you for your download, Chicago. But...
Yo, holler at us. Tell us where you're downloading from.
That is awesome.
We want to connect faces Ashburn, with numbers. Virginia?
Join the fucking group if you're not Virginia? In the fucking That's group. No,
nope.
Join the group.
Some random mofos in Ashburn, join the Virginia. Facebook Shout out group. To y'all.
But, Facebook group by the same name. The yeah.
Still
Super
the same amount
show.
Of countries. We just have 570 cities currently, so we just keep
570 cities around the world are downloading the Super Show and hearing these voices every week.
Hearing this professional podcast.
This professional. Come on, man. Another.
Man.
We all fanfare. That was my fault. We deserve that. Come on, man. I think we need to change the music to some King shit, like when royalty walks in. Goddamn it!
Like King Booker. King Booker.
I'm about to look that up. We broke the mold on that.
It feels
but
right.
Again, all we do is work for
King
you.
Macho Man.
So we're not here to talk about how awesome we are. We're actually here to talk about an awesome show on
Disney Plus. How awesome Loki is.
So
Loki,
we are actually here to talk about all things Loki, episode 2.
And shout out the episode 78. I think we skipped it over. We said could be shared with Anthony Munoz and Bruce Smith.
Sorry, I jumped the gun.
Both of them were heavily pro bowled throughout their long careers.
So our spirit animal.
It feels right to include
both. Number 78 is Anthony Munoz, who was an offensive lineman. He was a magnificent
Hardcore
football
Bengals.
Player.
Hall of Famer. And then Bruce Smith as
Bruce
well.
Bruce Smith is
another
is
Hall
a
of Famer.
God of football.
Number one draft pick.
He's definitely right underneath Lawrence Taylor, I would say, at getting to the quarterback. I always felt everybody gave Reggie White all kind of credit, but to me, even watching him as a kid...
I thought Bruce Smith was better than Reggie
White. Yeah, I did too. I always felt like, I think because he had the pastor thing and all that, he got a little more club than Bruce Smith, and Bruce Smith back then wasn't really communicable. You know, he didn't do commercials or nothing. So.
Oh, yeah.
But he was a bad motherfucker, and Lawrence Taylor was actually a linebacker. He was a defensive end, so a little different position anyway, and that swooped the arm, come underneath, crushed... I mean, he literally led the Bills to four Super Bowls.
That's right.
So that was on defense anyway. But again, we've done what we can in this new news because nothing can be more new than the fact that we are an awesome fucking show. Thank you to all of the listeners everywhere.
Thank you to us.
Wow, that was inappropriate.
But we're going to go and try to find a way to humble ourselves. And we're gonna get the show on the road so that we could get into some Hulk, some Oz Father. I'm sure you want some money off of the
Well, let's do a little bit of shout outs before we go to our break. Shout out some of our more famous listeners just to say what's up as we embark on this new chapter.
Shout out Mo Green, seeing you soon.
Ron Dini, I FaceTimed with Ron Dini the other day.
He's coming home. Did y'all read this shit?
He's coming back.
He's moving back to Indiana.
Run it one more time. Shout out Mike Mertz.
Mike Mertz. Mimi Juju, she listens to the show all the time.
Shout out the cleaning lady.
Absolutely. Who else we shouting out?
Shout out Gary Montalbano as well.
He was a hit in the first year.
You guys
of this
just hung out this weekend. You got to shout out Will Woodrow.
Will Woodrow. Absolutely. Frank Ye. We were just talking to Frank Ye.
We're not going to get to see Chef Ye this time.
That is not correct.
He
will be in a presence.
He's gonna be on our plane,
and he was like, "I don't know. I might have to sleep at your house one day. I'm moving out of my place, and I'm moving down by Mo Green. He said, I don't know if I'll be ready yet because he said I had to come down this week.
Tell him he has to be back here
because he's opening a restaurant here, so he has to be back next week. So
tell him come on. I bet he made some money off selling that spot for sure.
He did.
He's
gonna hopefully. He's had some complications, and he said that the bright side is that it comes out of the other side there could be some financial payouts, and in that case, he would open two restaurants instead of one.
Okay.
So he's still, obviously, I know it's been a delay. Matter of fact, it's finally a good segue, is that the hot bacon, chicken wings.
Oh, it's still a thing. Bacon barbecue. Hot chicken, honey hot bacon honey, barbecue.
That's what bacon it was. Barbecue, Super Show chicken it's wings. Coming. Thank you, Benji Bats. I could not remember that. Mm-hmm.
It is a slow burn.
It's still a process. Just to give anybody a heads up, there was a time that they were still in the research and development phase that we were trying to, with a chef and a developer of the wings, to do a flash freeze wing that you could basically order them anywhere in America, and in the day it takes maybe to get there, or same day, you could flash freeze them and they would be just like brand new. So that's still in the works, and it is a concept that I didn't release to anybody because you won't know how to do it, but it is still in the
you
works.
You wouldn't know how.
Just the chef that was doing that.
He's moved spots. Yeah, so.
But
it's still a thing, just a thought currently.
Still in production.
Correct.
Still in production.
So we're going to get the show started. We'll be back in a second.
This is the Super Show's number one fan, Bobby Karate. The Super Show will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Live in front of Loki's Liquor, Check Cashing, and Pool Tabs. I'm Kellen the Wise, here with this week's Doorbuster Deals. Camp Crystal Latex Condoms. When you're about to give her that shh, so you can make her and murder that pussy. The Hokey Pokey Clinic, a place to turn yourself around. Nathan's famous Beef Frank Meat Seltzer. Hard seltzer made from the leftover water from the 2020 Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. 7.4% alcohol by volume. Funyun's Onion Flavored Juice. Little Doobie's Neck Clips. For when you've got those major munchies. Vagisil High Mileage Feminine Wash with Odor Block Protection for bitches with that check engine light on. Cream Fill Beavers for your eating pleasure. Beef Twinkies, pure beef center, naturally and artificially flavored. Naturally. Wrigley's Doritos Chewing Gum when you don't want people all up in your face. Bubble Fett's Bubble Wash cleans even the dirtiest Mandalorians. And just in time for the holidays, Christmas dinner. Dinner in a tin. And yes, it includes the dessert. Mm-mm. All new EBT cards are 10% off.
I swear on my Zarg nuts, a second titty fell out. My eyes got even bigger. Then a third titty was staring me in the face. I didn't know whether to suck or run. Oh, we're on the air. This is Stumpy Samson, back with all you freaks of the week here at the wettest spot on Camino. We are wrapping up day two of Boba Fetish's BBW Luau and sharing a campfire with the Mandalorian, the myth, the legend himself. He's agreed to answer a few questions before he has his late night hour with Randy Shandy and the Shandettes. Big Pimpin' Boba, a few weeks back, Bo-Katan stopped by the Super Show and said she was going to drain your back to tank. Tell all your fans, what she's successful.
Which time?
We all know your list of takedowns is both epic and extensive. Are there any regrets?
Let me just say, always double check the cuffs on your Rancor sex harnesses. Almost lost both my nips to that big bitch.
Wise words for every man, Twi'lek, and Mon Calamari. Speaking of the range of potential conquests out there, do you have a favorite type of lady after seeing all of the Empire?
Let's just say, I've contributed my DNA to the gene pool in all known worlds across all realms.
And Imperial bitches wouldn't have it any other way, my friend. Before you head back to the Champagne Hut with that top shelf pack of moose knuckles, one last question. Boxers or briefs?
Neither. These boys are free to swing whichever way the Bacta flows.
Truly inspiring. This has been your favorite Fariki reporter, Stumpy Sampson, bringing day two of Boba Fetish's BBW Luau to a close. I can't wait to see what is in store for day three. Now back to the Super Show!
All right, this is a refresher to you gentlemen. Excuse me.
What the fuck happened to nestled? We ain't nestled?
Well, we're nestled getting there. Lodge. We're getting there.
I feel like, man, that,
we're
that,
getting there.
There's a lot of people
that nestled hinge. In the not-so-bustling metropolis of Franklin, Indiana.
Hinge on
located at our remote location, also known as the Lodge. Lodge. Yes, that's give, true. That's
but
true.
The Lodge has hosted several shows. Give them a round of applause. Fantastic.
So, We as a group were recently partaking in a little bit of barbecue and football and beers and sodas and water.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And there were a few meat sticks. There were a few bones there too, but did that. So I decided presented a range of options to the other two gentlemen. And of those options, Sam Simeon really honed in on one, and he wanted to try some skewers, some skewered meats and vegetables that would be cooked on charcoal. So, pulled out the charcoal grill, which I hadn't used in a while, but I was still happy to use it. We fired that bad boy up, and then I had pre-made that morning and stabbed my hand several times with those skewers. It was a little bit rough. A rotation of meats and vegetables that went about as follows. So we started with a quartered baby red or yellow potato. Yep. Then delicious. We would have a piece of seasoned chicken. Yep. Then an onion, kind of a small chunk of onion there. Then we would have a jalapeno wrapped in bacon.
Yep. Yep.
Then a piece of carrot. Then a piece of New York strip steak, which had been thinly sliced and marinated in Bachan's sweet and spicy Japanese barbecue sauce.
Japanese barbecue sauce. I never had no shit like that in my life. That shit was fire. That shit was delicious.
Yeah, while it's successful as just an on-top condiment, it really shines as a marinade when it comes to beef in particular, and especially when cooked over a flame. It's called Bachan's, Bachan's. You can find it at Whole Foods, on Amazon. I mean, there's a lot of places to find it. They have a new miso-flavored Japanese barbecue sauce, which I have yet to try, but I am super excited about.
I am too now. I'm into some exotics.
So miso
I would have never thought I'd have ate that Japanese barbecue sauce.
Well, you've eaten at like a Chinese or a Japanese place before and had miso soup. It's like that free little cup of broth that they give you.
Any of those restaurants.
Okay, gotcha. No. So
nothing wrong with any of those restaurants. If you go there, still listen to the show. I am a supporter of your right to eat whatever you would like.
We're pro-choice.
Just for you in general, I highly recommend that if you ever have the opportunity to sample miso soup, it's M-I-S-O, that you take that opportunity, because I think it's something that would that you would find very good and fitting of your palate. So it's not super spicy, it's not super fragrant or weird, it's just a nice savory broth. That's all it is, just broth. That's it. Sometimes they'll drop a few scallions in there, and sometimes it'll have little tofu cubes. But you can avoid those tofu cubes. You don't want those. No one wants tofu. Not really.
Tofu. But I know the same thing with hummus. I don't know how people can eat hummus.
Well, like if you remember at the Will Woodrow gallery thing, they actually served some hummus there that looked appetizing to me because it had some greens mixed in, it had olive oil drizzled all over it, and it had a really nice like accompaniment of different dried vegetables and fruits and other things that you could dip into it. So it was done well at the very least, but as a basic concept, I'm not really on the hummus train either. But with that said, so the skewers were, we left them, I grilled them at about a temperature of 300 degrees with charcoal. Mm-hmm. It was pretty consistent heat across. And I made sure that I got a significant char and that there was no pink left in any of the beef, because Sam Simeon does not like pink left in the beef, and that's why I did a thin slice, which then I folded and then skewered.
Cannon, where are you going? I'm setting booty traps. Booty traps. That's what I said.
I don't know. I love booty traps, and I'm glad that we're incorporating that now. I'm not quite sure what that was.
I saw it, and I just felt
that I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. It felt right.
Now, I wanted to ask both of you, because you both tried the Simon's original sauce, which was the kind of lighter colored sauce.
What was this?
Yeah. And it was mustard based. Yeah. It was like a Dijon mustardy.
Favorite one, I think.
I love it.
Like that barbecue sauce, though. That shit's fire.
Japanese barbecue sauce.
I was mixing
sauce.
The truff it sauce seems and racist. That together.
Can you say Japanese barbecue sauce? Is that politically correct?
I mean, it's actually politically correct. I guess, it has a soy sauce base, but it's got a lot of sugar, brown sugar, and other traditional barbecue elements that are incorporated
rather than ketchup.
So it's just like their spin on barbecue sauce.
If you said oriental barbecue sauce.
Yeah, you don't want to say that. Because that could be any company, any country from the Orient, which we don't really refer to as such anymore. Yeah,
you're not supposed to.
I would
rather be called
the only Asians. Thing that's Oriental
like,
anymore.
Asian
is Asian
sounds so abrasive.
Yeah,
like, you're sure you'd rather be an Asian? Yeah. Like Russians are Asians. But, you don't want to be true.
Because this is one of the unique.
I fucked Alex up when I told her that the Russians are Asian. She's like, no. I'm like, they are literally.
Yeah. But since this is one,
they're also Eastern Europeans.
This is also true. It's a big ass fucking country.
I experienced the. Cuisine as you did, and I just want to say that shit was fire,
man.
The chicken was prepared to
the jalapeno with the bacon. So of course I put that in the barbecue sauce. I basically put every piece of that in that barbecue sauce.
I mean, I dug the skewers. It was actually the best set of skewers that I'd done, and they were all cooked perfectly. That, like nothing was overdone.
But the vegetables,
but it had a nice char,
but crispy.
Yeah. The only thing that wasn't right was the fucking Colts.
Yeah, that's true. it was rough.
So this is a good unique situation, because this is, I think, might be the first time since we were at the Tyler Johnson's estate that we've all ate the Edible Hulk.
That's true.
The Edible Hulk.
Yeah.
Not had food
We'd
on the show.
Together, right? The fact that the
meal was the Hulk.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I guess we all grade it. How do we grade it? Because I give it A+.
I will say this: Sam Simeon actually ate two full skewers.
I did.
Went back for a third skewer.
I did.
And this is a person that is, by reputation, might we say, peckish a little bit.
Yeah.
He grazes a little bit. He'll have a little. He doesn't usually go all in. He went all in this time.
But those meat products, those were just...
Yeah, the right stuff on there.
Yeah, you had it for me. Because I was a little apprehensive when I first, because I said something. I was like, man, I'm going to have to leave these big-ass mushrooms off of here.
Yeah, and then he found
out. He was like, no, those are potatoes. I was like, sweet Jesus. I was like, oh. So then I went down the line and go, I like everything on this fucking skewer. Let's get to it.
Yeah. I was careful to make sure that the bacon got a little bit crispy there.
Yeah.
Because the worst thing that you can do is put bacon on the grill and leave it like not
rubbery.
At least have some crisp around the edges.
Yeah.
And so I was really pleased with all the textures. I thought everything was cooked but not overcooked, which is, I mean, you. Because by the look of it, I mean, there was some char in some areas because it's over flame,
That was good. I liked all that crunchiness went against the chewy part of the meat. It was good. Yeah. No, it was an A+.
I'm glad everybody enjoyed it.
You got to grade it.
I give it an A also.
So A+, what'd you give it?
Oh, you give it an A+, that's right. I gave it an A.
I think it's... Did you give it an A or an A+?
I give it an A.
Okay, I give it an A, too. I only say that because I made it, and I think that I can get it better.
That shit was fire. And because I gave it the plus because I was able to eat the Japanese barbecue sauce, and I would not ever, before that time, take the opportunity to eat Japanese barbecue sauce. And I was pleasantly surprised. It was very good. It went well with the meat too. Mm-hmm. It was I was like, this is where I was like, I think I need enough of that to be like dipping this shit like fondue in that fucking shit.
I just started mixing that Treff hot sauce and that barbecue sauce together. Yeah,
Simon's original sauce. Simon's, yep. Also on hand was Treff white.
Now the Simon was perfect with the chicken.
Yeah, that white truff sauce is like $40 a bottle. It's awesome.
That shit is $40 a bottle?
Absolutely.
It tastes fucking like it's...
I mean, that's why.
It tastes like it should be.
That shit was good.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was tasty.
Yeah, so that makes it an A.
An A. Yeah. So, the Lodge, we also were out there working.
Mm-hmm. So recorded those two new spots you just heard.
The new spots. And we ate good and watched the Colts get annihilated.
That sounds pretty accurate.
It wasn't quite annihilated. And we didn't notice, but the Frenchie was on the broadcast.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Don't you remember the Frenchie?
No, but it sounds creepy.
So we told this story a while ago that after attending the first Will Woodrow Art Gallery opening, I happened to run into a pretty famous Jacksonville Jaguars super fan.
Oh, yeah, the French-Canadian. It's hard to keep up with all your hoes.
I do not have hoes.
You
Jesus
got hoes. You got hoes to get
there.
Mad at you. They're saying shit about other hoes on the show.
Why are you talking about the hoes on there?
Hoes.
Man, what the fuck are you doing right now? Anyway, while we were recording, the French Canadian chick was in her Jaguars kitty outfit on National. I will point out that was over a year ago. Thank you, over a year ago.
So you heard it here. You won't have a chance to ever fucking eat at the Lodge because you're not part of the Super Show. This is an elite secret location, man, that you will not experience, but we will bring the festivities to you in the retellings of the magnificent things that go on there. So, again, it was a great trip to the Lodge. Great food, great company.
It usually is.
Productive.
Usually
so,
is.
We're done.
Hulk out.
Hulk out. Man, what a weird week.
Dude, it was a weird week. I actually lost money betting this week.
I did too.
I only lost $50, but still, it's like, that's weird. I'd normally never lose.
My fucking Achilles was the 49ers and the Eagles. I pretty much had them in every parlay.
Yep.
I had a lot of Eagles parlays. There was any way in hell that the 49ers would lose to the Browns.
And I hit all my Eagles parlays except Eagles win.
Yep.
Ouch.
That's always the worst. Yep. I fucking hit, I had a small one too, like a four-legger on a free bet or whatnot. It was like four. I did two dudes to score touchdowns. They both scored their touchdowns, and I fucking picked the Eagles to win. The over, I think it was, and the Eagles to win. And fuckers. So, long story short, we missed the play of the week. Again, man, this is becoming a habit.
It's
we got to break.
It's bullshit, man.
We got to break this habit.
Bullshit.
It's bullshit.
It's bullshit.
And then we took the Ravens over the Titans in the London game. They fucking got it done. Lions money line over the Bucks. Colts fucking couldn't cover their 4.5. Fuckers.
Fuck you.
And then the Saints. How are they going to lose to the fucking Texans, man? The Saints going to lose to the shitty Texans.
The Texans are not shitty.
C.J. Stroud's been turning it up.
The best of the three.
I'm the one that told y'all the Texans weren't shitty.
Because I saw...
It's not hard to be the best of the three when Bryce Young is god-awful and Richardson's done for the season.
They said he left the court. He left the field. He was crying and shit. He was looking for his mother in the stands.
He is fucking crying because he's like, God damn. Like, why'd they draft me here? Why couldn't I went to the Texans?
I remember one year, the quick story in sports related to when I was coaching youth, I was imparting my wisdom on the
end. You were coaching Utes.
The troubled Utes of society.
That's correct.
And,
thank you.
I took a project at quarterback that was about probably in the sixth grade. He was probably 5'10".
Is this one Ute or two Utes?
One Ute.
Okay.
And he was pretty much abysmal. He had no talent whatsoever, but I was going to try to mold him into something respectable. He came to me one day at practice and said, Coach, why did you draft me? He himself had no belief in it. I was like, well, damn, maybe I was wrong.
You were wrong.
He said, Coach, why did you draft me? Like,
well, when you put it that way, I don't really know.
I don't know. And he went on to do nothing. So, yeah, he knew more than I did what he was going to do. Although we did win the championship in spite of him.
In spite.
But so what
do you have? So that brings us overall odd father picks rather 144, 88 and 2, and then plays of the week 21 and 15, damn it. So we're gonna get right on these fucking plays of the week with this parlay, 49ers and the Bills money line.
Okay.
Bills play like the Patriots. Mm-hmm. They fucking lose to the Patriots, dude. But 49ers should bounce back the against the Vikings. Patriots are
due one, though, man, when you get beat like that.
I don't think so, man. I think Bill's about done. They're talking about starting the other kid instead of Mac Jones.
Talking about firing his ass.
Yeah.
They're literally having that conversation on morning shows. Like, is this year that Robert, like, kind of puts him out to pasture?
How?
I don't know, man. I got a hard time believing that.
How?
I don't know, man.
How the team is underachieving. It's not loaded with talent. All the talent left. Yo, it's not loaded with talent.
It's Robert Kraft. This dude, like, gets blowies in massage parlors and gets away with it. Sometimes this dude's all about business, man.
Wow,
like,
that was inappropriate.
He don't give a fuck. He does not give a fuck. He does not give a fuck.
Blowies in business.
Honestly, he does not give a fuck.
We need that as a bit.
As soon as the fans turn on Bill Belichick, he will be gone. Guaranteed.
Yeah. But man, you can't turn on a 6-time world champion.
Bro, it's fucking Boston. Have you heard those assholes talk?
Technically, him specifically, he's an 8-time world champion. He was the co-head coach and defensive coordinator when the Giants won two of them. So
man, this is true.
Dude, I would rather get rid of Robert Kraft before you get rid of him. It's not him. His principles of football didn't fail or change.
Right.
No, you need personnel.
He's been exposed as just being like, unable to run an offense. Well, that's the problem.
The offense ain't runnable.
Well, I think what it is more than anything these last few years is it's harder for him to cheat.
Well, I mean, that's part of it.
When they're good, yeah, nobody started saying that Barry Bonds was a cheater until the end of his
career. Man, the Astros are down 2-0, bruv. Yeah, let's be real about what happens when you stop cheating.
Yeah. But think about what you're saying, though.
Look at McDaniels.
They're still in the playoffs.
He was fucking on a 16-game skid after he got caught cheating.
Right, but they can't get over the hump. Yeah, they can get to the playoffs, but they can't get over the hump because that cheating was the edge.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man.
For fucking
absolutely.
Sure, man.
They're over the edge now. Because
there's too much parity, man. There's too much parity for that bullshit. Like, there is too much parity in the NFL for 6 fucking rings with one quarterback and coach combo. Like, they were cheating their fucking asses off. Right.
No, man, the rest of the league was trash. They had a scheme.
To an extent, man. But when Peyton Manning wasn't trash. When you know people's fucking defensive calls and shit.
They beat the fucking brakes off of him every time. Not some of the time. Practically
three quarters of the time.
Well, we're going to go with the Bills to beat the brakes off him this week. They're right. Like an 8-point fucking favorite. I don't know, man.
I thought the Bills were going to beat the brakes off motherfuckers this past weekend. There's something fucked up with them right now.
This motherfucker is costing me my fucking season.
Well, that's why I said this past week. I was like, there's no way they're gonna lose to Jacksonville and then come in here and put up a stinker. And then they did. I was like, oh, shit, I'm not betting on them no more.
Yep.
You're unreliable, Josh Allen. Unreliable.
Let's take the Commanders money line over the Giants. The Giants are bad.
Another bad one. Just like the New Jersey, the New England Patriots, they're new.
Is that a primetime game? Because they'll show up for primetime during the day.
Angry. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to lose. They're going to get blown the fuck out.
We like the Bucks money line over the Falcons.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Interesting.
Better defense.
Okay.
Okay. I kind of like the Lions over the fucking Ravens.
Can we talk about the Lions being the best team in the fucking NFL?
Can we talk about them accidentally fucking beating the Eagles out for the number one in the NFC because their division is god fucking awful and they can just go dog walk everybody in?
Bro, Jared Goff is who's dog walking everyone. Jared Goff is the best quarterback in the NFL.
It's not even
the Detroit Lions are the best team in the NFL.
It's their run game.
It's the fucking Twilight Zone, bro.
Their run game is fucking unreal. Their defense has played decent, but I mean, and it's just their ability to get ahead by a touchdown and then just run the ball down everybody's throat so far. They haven't stopped
the ball if you didn't contain them on defense.
Their defense is unbelievable.
But that's what I'm saying. That's been their formula so far. Their coach acts like he could come one or two touchdowns, and then they just fucking run it. The Dolphins are doing the exact same thing. They score a touchdown or two, throwing it, and then they just fucking run it the whole
time. I don't want to hear about
Cleveland Browns currently have the third best defense in NFL fucking history.
Ridiculous.
They are allowing less than 200 total yards a game.
It's pretty good.
Un-fucking-real.
But I still think we got to take the Lions. Yeah. Maybe we should take
the points. I'm taking the Lions to the bowl, dog.
Maybe we should just take the points. We'll take +3.
Okay.
I don't see who gets in the playoffs.
Past feels right.
Philly.
Lions
that team
plus
is stout
three.
And deep. I'm just going to go.
And then we were just talking about that right game. Eagles play the Dolphins this week. Let's take the over in
ooh,
that game.
I want to see them destroy the Dolphins.
51 is the total, so it's got a pretty fucking high total. But I think that each team should be able to score 25 points. I mean, it feels 24-30 game, something in that range.
I don't know.
Feels right.
Feels weird.
Yep. Those are going to be the ones.
Okay, so.
So we got Commanders, money line over the Giants, Bucks, right. Money line over the Falcons, Lions +3, and Eagles over 51.5.
Okay, so how much would that net them?
I don't know.
Untold fortunes.
I don't know what any of that even means, but you'll untold find out next fortunes. Week what it netted us.
So there you have it right there, folks.
Feels right.
Bet early, bet often, and vote for the Super Show.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
Challenge your feet, always quick when given to your bay.
This is Eyewitness News with Roger Grimsby, Bill Butel, plus Warner Wolf, Storm Field, and the Eyewitness News team. Broadcasting direct from the Eyewitness Newsroom.
Good evening, I'm Roger Grimsby, here now at the news.
Now let's check in for the 5-day forecast with the one and only Butcheroo.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms in the forecast for this afternoon, tonight, and tomorrow. And then for Thursday, jumping up to 97 degrees. Friday, another chance of showers kind of slipping in our back door, we think. And a 92-degree high for Friday and Saturday for the Watermelon Festival. At Rush Springs looks to be pretty good right now, 93. So temperatures will be in the 90s for the next several days, we think.
You like watermelon, Jordan?
Oh, I love it.
Oh, we do too.
Love it. Saw that big one you had there in our office.
Yeah.
It weighed about 50 pounds.
Yeah, it was delicious. Really was. Thanks. Compliments of Lieutenant Governor Spencer Bernard.
Payola.
Well, I'm honest about it.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
From the makers of Qui-Gon's Gin comes Sad Wookie Whiskey, the only whiskey blended, drooled in, then bottled by the proud Wookiees of Kashyyyk, distilled from only the finest pregnant Wookiee sweats, aged 12 years in limited batches. Yoda loves this shit, and really, don't tell anyone. That's why he talks like that. He's drunk and older than shit. This stuff is 468% alcohol after all. Use it to power stormtrooper flamethrowers and jetpacks alike. That's the Sad Wookiee Whiskey. Now available at Loki's Liquor and check cashing.
This is Stumpy Sampson, and welcome to the Super Trivia Game Show, where we find out once and for all who knows what.
I'm gonna need you to make these drunken mac fries and not play with my emotions, man. Like that. Those
bro, that's not big creation like me. That's some restaurant.
Yeah, well, motherfucker,
it can be created at the lodge.
A restaurant. So, all right, I'm checking my bell. It is the illustrious.
Mine's not rigged. I'm ready.
Versus Sam Simeon.
Made it.
And Ultra Cheater Benji Betts
will Ultra be Cheater
hosting for the 24th time in
can't
a
help I got
row.
A big brain.
So
don't be hating on my big brain.
Bro, can you get that?
First question.
I don't want it to be a distracting reason.
No.
First question.
Okay.
Oh, we're ready. I'm ready. Go ahead.
I don't think you're ready.
I'm quick to the draw.
This is a very short question.
Go ahead.
Who painted the Mona Lisa? He beat you.
Leonardo da Vinci.
One for Sam Simeon. I tried to warn you.
That's all right. If it makes you feel better, if I would have beat you, I would have said Vincent Van Gogh. So you.
Second question. Who was the first woman to win a Nobel Prize? Kellen Wise.
Harriet Tubman. Because I have no fucking idea.
That shit. Man.
Marie Curie.
That is absolutely correct.
Oh, nice.
Sam Simeon, 2. Kellen Wise, 0.
Oh. Ali, Bumbaya. Ali, Bumbaya.
Which kind of bulbs were once exchanged as a form of currency? Ooh. Kellen the Wise.
Tulip?
That is correct. Kellen the Wise. Sam Simeon 2, Kellen the Wise 1. Ooh, this is good. What was the original purpose of the tiny pocket in jeans? Kellen Wise, who was first?
Okay. Only because he had to come up from the past.
That's what I thought, but this paper is obscuring.
It is a
right. Kellen Wise, go ahead.
It is a change purse.
Incorrect. Sam Simeon, would you like to buzz in?
That's where they kept their gold or valuables.
I cannot accept that answer.
But that is the answer.
That is not the answer.
We need to produce
the correct answer is to store pocket watches. Your answer was too vague.
Change.
And was not specific enough.
No, that was the wrong answer. No.
Yes.
You dudes are cheating, but that wasn't.
Next. What does the acronym SPF? Kellen the Wise.
Sun protection factor?
Kellen the Wise ties it up 2-2.
What the fuck? I'm about to get Ernst & Young in this motherfucker, man. You double check these fucking scores and shit. Where's Alex Trebek when you need him? This shit is bullshit.
Next question.
Is it? Because I'm starting to feel a lightweight next hashtag question. Collusion.
Next question. Chrome. Safari.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, that was close. I'm going to go Sam Simeon on this one.
Browsers. You know that's the answer. Don't be doing all that.
I cannot accept that
answer. You have to accept that answer because of that.
Would you like to expand your answer?
I would like to...
Would you
what?
Would you like to
internet
expand?
Browsers? Yes, you have to.
I'll accept that.
Yes, da, 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 da. Yes.
It technically says web browsers, but internet browser I will accept.
Only webs are spider webs.
Is web browser.
The correct answer is the correct answer. We must be civilized. We're not heathens playing a game in a dumpster behind the speedway.
In what year was the internet opened? Kellen Wise?
1980.
Nine's the number. Another summer. Get down.
Six.
Sound of the funky drummer.
That's incorrect. Simpson Moon, would you like me to finish the question?
I would like you to finish the question, but I would like you to say it in a French accent.
Oh, oh, oh.
We win.
In what year was the internet open to the public?
The internet.
Open to the public.
1992.
Wow, you were 1 year off. 1993. That was a really good guess, buddy. Well done.
Damn.
Well done. Well done.
Okay. I was going when they turned it on for the military.
I'm setting booty traps. Booby traps. That's what I said, Simpson.
That's what I'm going to start saying. Stumpy Simpson. Setting booby traps.
What is it?
This is interesting.
What's the count?
The count is 3-2.
It's still 2-2.
It's 2-2.
No, it's
not. No, because I got the internet. The internet one. Stop cheating me. I got the internet. Do you see? Where is Ernst & Young in there?
Actually, that is correct.
Yeah, he should be.
Yes, yes. Pardon. Yes.
I cross it off.
For 400 years.
We have for 400 back. Years.
We have held back in game shows. In game shows.
Who is often credited with creating the world's first car?
Come on, bro. You can hear it.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Kellen on that one.
Henry Ford.
Bro, you're putting your hand up here and coming down like this.
I'm not.
You got to have your finger on the bell.
That is how fast I'm doing it.
No.
What you hear.
Henry Ford.
Bro, you are literally Drax right now. Drax right now telling people that they can't see you while you're eating a Zargnut.
He has not even rang the bell yet.
Henry Ford?
That is incorrect. Sam Simeon, would you like to take a stab?
I forget his first name. I think he's Daimler Benz. The Mercedes Benz dude is the first inventor of the car. Yeah.
Why'd you say Daimler, man?
Because I think
that's Chrysler.
Chrysler.
Yeah, Daimler is Chrysler.
They bought Chrysler. That shit. Google that shit. This Daimler. Dude was the
good one.
Daimler Benz. But that's
Daimler was the Chrysler part, and Benz was the Mercedes Benz part.
No. Daimler was with Benz. Google it. Daimler was with Benz first.
First of all, it's not Daimler Benz because that's not the person's name. The question is, who is often is often credited with
Benz.
If you didn't just say Benz, you said Daimler Benz.
No, yeah.
And it's Carl Benz, so I will not accept that
fair
answer.
fair enough although everyone listening across the world, including our German listeners that knew I knew and none of these yahoos knew
that you said Daimler. That was your bad
at it. We need to go to Germany. Do they let black people in Germany?
Yeah, why not?
If you would like to finish this game and prepare yourself for the next question.
I'm ready.
Demolition of the Berlin Wall separating East and West Germany began in what year? Kellen the Wise.
19.
Every listener of the Super Show should know this year. We covered Atomic Blonde.
Yes, 1956.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You did not just say that shit.
Why didn't he?
Bro, you're literally like 40 years off.
Oh, no. That didn't happen immediately, did it? It happened in the fucking 90s. Yeah, so no, that's not right. 1956 isn't right.
You said when it started?
Demolition of the Berlin Wall separating East and West Germany began in what year? As previously noted in our broadcast dealing with Atomic Blonde.
We did Atomic Blonde.
Yes.
I gotta go listen to that show. We got a lot of shows, man. Shit. Oh, 1982.
No. 1989.
I was
good. 90.
Yeah, I was close. 90s are close. Number. Another summer. Should have said it. All right.
I'm surprised we didn't get that one. I was.
Yeah, that's my bad. Well, because I was thinking when the fucking war ended, and that's still
him,
not right.
Because you didn't signal him the answer. That would be 1945.
Yeah.
40s. The 50s was Korea.
Yeah.
60s and 70s was Vietnam.
Yeah. We need a Vanna White.
I am Vanna White, motherfucker.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
All right.
When did Facebook, Kellen the Wise?
Let's see here. 2004?
Kellen the Wise ties it up.
What's up? You like that?
That was pretty funny. Tie game, anyone's match. And I know that we bet, at least we better go on this question.
Okay, here we go.
Who was the first woman?
I didn't mean to do that.
Motherfucker, the bell was rung.
All right, Kellen, who was the first woman?
Condoleezza Rice.
No. Sam Simeon.
If you could read the question in German with a Spanish accent.
Well, if that's the case, then you're not going to get the answer to the fucking question.
Who was the first woman pilot to fly solo across the...
What? Who was Amelia Earhart?
She wasn't solo.
That is correct, Sam Simeon. You win the game.
Bullshit. She wasn't solo.
This has been Stumpy Sampson for the Super Show. And now we know for today, who knows what?
I'm DJ Danger Dan, broadcasting live from the Kitty Cat Lounge in the basement of Marlon Bando's Sugar Shack and Juke Joint. Welcome to the Royale Deluxe. It's bow ties and hose pies, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, we bring you some of the finest talent in the world. This side of the Mississippi Delta, outside of LA, of course, and a few spots in Brooklyn. Some of the greatest acts in history, if not longer. Amazing feats of songmanship, words, and tunes. I bring to you We Tax FM 808.8 on your FM dial. That's funk modulation. Turn up or turn it off.
Greetings, fellow globetrotters and big shotters. It is I, Lord Macadel Barry Terrycloth III. I have just returned from a wonderful getaway. With my guys for real, the playerest players known to mankind, Game Clinic. In the sickest, most beautiful paradise this side of Atlantis. South Beach, Miami. Get you some. I lent many of my unlimited talents to their new album, Weaponized Funk. Coming soon on Steed Skirt Records and Streams. Make sure you get that album, it's a game changer.
It's intermission. Rise and stretch time.
It's Yuri Belova, here for you saving. Yes, I have missed you, my babushkas. Yuri lathered in vodka and here to bring new deal to you. We back on Tatooine, collecting bounty puck that we sleep to Mandalorian through squiggle talking Jawa intermediary. Next time someone bother you, we put bounty on head and they come in warm or cold. Mother-in-law nagging you? She disappear. Your ex move on to new Rodian lover with stupid green anteater face? I don't know, Mr. Stormtrooper. He was here, now I don't see him. Wink, wink. Neighbor dog keep you up all hours? We find nice farm for it to retire to. Your boss up your well-toned and firm butt?
No worry, we make problem disappear. Come on down to Tracksuit Speeder. We have new hot setup for your revenge and disappearing need. And while you're there, we rent your old speeder back to you. One-stop shop. We now return you to your regular schedule, Super Show.
Yeah, a few. Damn, Ron Diesel, you got kids? We're talking about you in the break, son.
A bunch of illegitimates.
Man, Ron Diesel, when you gonna be back, dude?
He's coming.
When you coming, man? Ron Diesel!
Welcome back to the Super Show.
We made
show.
It. Breaking Brad.
We are in the salon doing episode 2 of Loki, season 2, and the episode is called Breaking Brad. And it just continues. We start, we're going to tag in before we go any further. The voice you're hearing is Sam right. Simeon, the villain.
Benji, are you going to walk us through some of these?
Kellen
the
Wise.
Oh, yes.
The other voice.
Well,
and belligerent.
Well, we're
man.
Still talking. So yeah. We just missed some shit while we were talking. Let's back that shit up.
Did I just see back the dude that from up. Eternals on the wall?
Yes. you did miss a Kingo movie poster. Nice. There's also a little known Phone Ranger movie poster. Mm. There at one point was a Marvel character named the Phone Ranger, and his helmet piece resembled the receiver on an old school telephone.
Yep.
So it was like someone hung their phone up on his head.
Zaniac, the movie itself that Brad stars
also
in,
is a little known Marvel
super obscure Thor villain. But it's a real, I believe sometime maybe 70s, 80s, mm-hmm. He had a couple shots, but same deal. He was like a Jekyll Hyde type person and looked almost exactly like that green hairy monster dude that fought Thor.
Zaniac.
Yep. He's Zaniac, yeah.
You know, it's one of the things that is good and bad for me covering this kind of material, because the bad side is I didn't read a lot of these comics. Like I told Benji Bats off the air before, mm-hmm. I read a lot of comics and still have a lot of comics, but yeah, they're of probably the same six or seven titles, and then some kind of sprinkled shit in that, you know, one-offs or whatever that I might have. So there's so much of Marvel's mythos
that
I just don't know.
But that's my dad was super into Hulk and Thor, so then they both have super obscure villains.
Yeah, see, mm-hmm. And that's something that for me was a big deal because it was my uncle that shout out to my uncle. He's been on the show a few times.
Uncle Rick, shout out.
He was the one that cultivated that in me through him because he was hardcore and all that. But now, since he's obviously a lot older, but he is a big, big, big Fantastic Four fan. Like,
yeah.
He can't wait to see this Fantastic Four like we might have been with Spider-Man or Avengers. So that's the person that I get some of that background from, but a lot of these characters I wish I knew more about.
They
so
keep
the good
blowing
side
up
about
all the
it.
Good Fantastic Four villains. They suck.
Bro, they've offered Reed Richard and Doctor Doom to so many fucking people, and they just keep getting turned down, bro. Like, nobody wants to touch that shit.
They see what that 10-year grind
is. 1977 is an interesting year to open up in this with a movie, I guess, kind of a premise.
Yeah, it's like a movie premiere, and we're at this 1970s movie opening. 77
would be a big one for, you know, like maybe a movie you might know called Star Wars that came out
right.
The same year.
So in this 616 universe, Star Wars exists, right?
Because yeah, I mean,
616 is standard America.
Yeah, right.
It should be.
So that's fucking tight.
So we see Mobius and Loki rolling up into this movie premiere and running up to the star of Zaniac. And they abscond with him, which is the former Hunter X-5.
X-5.
Which we saw in the very last episode on the job, and then all of a sudden he's in the 70s and he's a movie star.
Yes.
So it's kind of a big leap from the last episode, which is really interesting. But yeah, so he runs, obviously.
Of course. And we get the obligatory chase down.
Of course.
Where they got
it's a decent chase, too.
I like the Loki magic,
man.
Though.
That yeah. chick has got yeah. some.
And who is she?
She got
no. That's the Hunter B-15.
Yeah, that's B-15. She got some yeah. some hams on the yeah. front of her chest.
Yes. Yes,
those are some ample bosoms,
yeah, some looked, chesticles,
she,
if you will.
Yes. She looking like Mrs. Butterworth.
Yeah, well, you know, in a good way.
Inappropriate.
In the uniform is not very flattering to her, but that was a hell of a lot more flattering from a chesticle perspective.
I really love when Loki finally used the power. He's done playing with him.
I like this scene because I feel like this is Tom Hiddleston trying out for James Bond.
I hope not. I think he's too frail size.
He's really not. Check out the Night Manager. I've talked to you about series before.
You're talking about his capabilities. I'm talking about his frame. I think Bond, even when they had Daniel Craig, he was a short but stocky Bond. Every Bond
he's got, I'm
not talking about muscular, I'm talking about just your general frame. Like everyone they picked has been in like a, for lack of a better term, a man's man.
Pierce Brosnan. His favorite was tall and lanky. Yeah. Pierce Brosnan was tall.
That's all I think.
Same. He's hard as fuck.
Yeah. Man.
But he's got the same frame as Hiddleston. But, I
mean, honestly, Hiddleston kind of reminds me of him a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And
just with his acting chops.
That's exactly why I brought him up, because they look kind of similar.
I don't know.
I think he still have that bravado you need to be James Bond, you know what I mean? I would much rather see him than the black chick.
And in this scene, I don't want to have that fucking conversation. One thing that helps this series off top that gives it already a C alone in any situation is Tom Hiddleston. Even walking down the hallway in his fluffy tux, he just looks the part.
He looks like a star.
Man. He's fucking awesome, man. And he doesn't have a conventionally handsome face, but he is convincing.
He is an amazing fucking actor. Now, one of my favorite parts in this entire thing is coming right now, where he tries to hit the dude with the wrench, and then he realizes that all these people are fake, and then these Loki shadows pin.
Yeah, that was
pin him to the brick wall and hold his ass there.
I forgot about that.
I was sitting there going, "Damn! I want that power. I want to pin people to the wall with my shadows."
Shadows,
man.
Give me some shadow magic.
And bro, it was two of them.
Right. And they both had Loki horns. It wasn't just dudes.
And then he's walking up with like 12 other versions of himself behind him too.
I love it. Dude, I'm telling you.
A plus.
Loki.
And then his eyes peak green right when the Loki shadows restrain him. I mean, just amazing. See, because you know that it's the reason why it's happening is he's doing a spell on him for him to very tight, man. Tom Hiddleston helps a lot of errors.
And what I like is the fact that Tom Hiddleston, Loki, is still the star of this episode.
Yeah.
Where we're getting a lot of ensemble shit happening, especially with Ahsoka. That was like a lot of the criticism of that show. It was like, why isn't Ahsoka the star of her own show? But it was really a continuation of Rebels, and I was cool with that. Like, it's world building. Just because they called it Ahsoka didn't mean that they had to omit everyone else. But with that said, I like the fact that Loki remains the star of this episode, even with so much going on. There, like, a lot happens in this episode, just a fucking lot. And so now we've got what is his name? This is X5.
Yeah,
X5. Hunter X5,
or we can call him Brad. Now if we want to.
Oh, and the name of this episode, as we did not mention, Breaking Brad.
Yeah, we mentioned it. Breaking.
We did.
Brad.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. Yeah, it was my fault. Yeah,
no, it's because Loki was really trying to break him.
Yeah. And I still, after watching the episode multiple times, I'm not sure was it really sincerely a bluff. Or was he sincerely willing to go all the way?
Like, I mean, I don't think he was going to smash him in the box, but it was definitely Mobius or whatever. When he came back in the room, he said
he might have left his ass in there for a while, all scrunched up.
Yeah,
come back a day or two later. So
it definitely was a plan to pretend they were in there. He didn't have the controller to leave, lock the door, and like ramp up the. Oh well, I might really torch. Remember, you were calling shit me about my
Danville, mom and stuff? Indiana. Danville, Indiana. Who the fuck?
So we did.
So we meet OB, working on a trying to get a new device.
What's up, Danville, Indiana? You should listen to the Super Show.
The Loom.
I bet they do. I bet we got downloads in Danville. I bet there's downloads in Danville. Amen. Because all people do is listen and download.
There should be
the
Super Show. Live in Danville.
Why? What? Okay. The only people who aren't downloading the Super Show should be people who don't download shit.
I used to hang with a girl out in Danville. There ain't shit there. Like nothing.
Yeah, really.
But the Super Show is everywhere, bro. The Super Show is like the air we breathe.
That's true.
It's fucking badass.
It is sustenance.
For the second week in a row, OB has referred them to the TVA guidebook that he already wrote that explains everything. So I don't know. I feel like he's got some, maybe a little bit. He might maybe be the bad guy here.
You think so? Maybe. It's funny you say that because a couple of the sites that I follow on some of the other social media.
Well, we really haven't met a true villain yet. It's and now we're two episodes deep.
The other military chick.
It's not the first time they've done that shit.
I know.
It's
the chick at the table. Gave us a look over here for
I think it's gonna be Renslayer.
The chick at the table is an old Sylvie. She's going to expose herself as she's an older version
Which one?
Of Sylvie. The military chick, not the Hobbit lady. You know what I'm talking about?
The Hobbit lady is old Sylvie.
Oh, the golem chick?
The military chick.
Oh, the old chick that was bombing the timeline?
No,
she was Scottish. Sylvie's not Scottish. That chick was deliberately Scottish.
Yeah, but the kiss in the sun was X5. It's the same. It's Brad.
Okay, that's who Brad's mama then.
Yeah.
I guess.
I mean, the chick at the end of this that gets arrested, right?
Yeah, she's
the villain. Supposed to be an old version of Sylvie.
Yes,
she's the version. She's the villain, but
she's not. Keep in mind, they don't have to necessarily look like each other. I mean, shit, we've got alligator Loki and Loki. You know what I mean? So we could have all different types.
We have
of
Sylvie Loki,
right?
And
so
Loki.
I mean, Sylvie is a girl version. You know what I mean? There could
Sylvie's
be
the variant of Loki. Like right. She is a variant of him.
I see what you mean. So. Yeah. The female part is the variant.
Yeah, that's part of variant it. In general. It could be whatever.
No, because she has all the same.
Loki's supposed to be a dude on the official timeline. Loki's a dude. That's a frost giant that's been turned into a dude.
Yeah,
that is the sacred timeline's version of Loki.
I always did wonder why Loki wasn't blue and
blue. But I mean, keep in mind, this Loki we have here isn't the sacred timeline's Loki.
Well, this one is not. No.
Right.
But yeah, that one was a frost giant that got turned into a dude and then died when he got his throat snapped by Thanos.
Correct. That is the sacred timeline, Loki.
Yeah. Yeah. Correct. Yes. Yes, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Can we just talk about Casey for a minute? This motherfucker. Yeah. I've noticed him as a character actor in other things, so he's actually worked a bit. This is not the only thing that he's been in. And he just really kind of portrays that goofy kind of nerd really well.
Yeah.
It's
fun.
I like that he's the go-to to the guidebook of literally the only person there.
Oh, absolutely.
But I mean, think about your actual job. Have you read your job's manual?
Fuck no.
They pass those motherfuckers out.
Haven't you read the manual?
They think you're going to. Shit, when I used to work at Renaissance, what was that, like a 100-page fucking employee workbook that they had that they wanted us to read? Nobody read that, bitch.
Yeah.
Why the fuck would you make a 100-page employee hand? Like, get the hell out of here, man.
Life's weird,
so we're interrogating X5. And in this initial interrogation, he's kind of talking some shit. Like,
he's just kind of him anyway.
Plus, he knows
he is
how
a
far
smart-ass Ryan Reynolds-ish type of dude.
He's a Dollar Tree Ryan Reynolds.
Well, I'd say Ryan Reynolds is a Dollar Tree Ryan Reynolds, but whatever.
But there's a lot of value at Dollar Tree.
Well, now, so say the same thing about Brad.
Yeah, but then he's like the Goodwill outlet.
Uh-huh.
There you go. Now we've arrived at the proper...
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I'm just not a Ryan Reynolds fan, people.
No, not him. Him. I like Ryan Reynolds. He's Deadpool, bruv. Did you know that? Have you ever seen Deadpool?
Yeah, I have. I've seen Deadpool, but Deadpool was Deadpool before he was Ryan Reynolds. And the cool part was Deadpool, not Ryan Reynolds, because Ryan Reynolds is always Ryan Reynolds. He doesn't act.
Well,
he's just him.
Yeah.
But him is tight. He's him.
I like him.
He's the Vin Diesel of cheeky white dudes. Like literally he just is him.
Speaking of cheeky white dudes, have you guys seen this Barbie movie yet?
Mm-mm.
I'm not
a chick, dude.
We turned it on the other day because
yeah, I know you
wanted to watch it.
You got kids.
It's not a kid movie at all. They were talking about penises, vaginas, all kind of weird shit.
Absolutely.
But it's basically
for adults.
The basic premise is that like Margot Robbie is a Barbie. There's like a Barbie land somewhere, and they are like real life Barbies and Kens.
Right.
Like what the fuck? But yeah, so she literally walked up
$2 billion.
Some weird thing. I forget exactly the way it went or something. I was in the kitchen making food, and it's like Margot Robbie walks up. She's like, "Well, you know, I don't have a vagina, right? And you don't have a penis." I was like, "What?
Whoa!"
It's like, "Yikes!"
Not that there's anything zero wrong chill. With it.
If we have right. any fans
in a
have a vagina or a penis,
but in a Barbie that is movie, okay. which I get it, people show. Are like, "Oh, well, you're supposed to know it's not for kids." It's Barbie.
It's fucking Barbie.
It's Barbie.
When Battleship came out, that was for fucking kids to go watch dudes fight against aliens, which evidently is what Battleship has turned into.
What happens when the kid that fucked with Barbie grows up to be 40 years old and they still fuck with Barbie? You got to cater to them. And that's what they did for
But you need to put a stamp on that and say, yo, we talk about penises and vaginas in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, like, literally, I bet people took, like, their 10 or 12 year old daughters to go see that shit.
Weird.
Like, for real skis.
But even doing that, that is some crazy shit because that shit is utter fantasy. That shit will only end you up with babies on your hip, mad at your man, and complaining about all the chores you got
to
do.
So back to Loki.
I like this.
I don't understand why they sit here and why they let him talk shit to them and get a rise out of them.
I like
when he's got the fucking collar on. Why don't they just start zipping his ass around the room like they did Loki in the first season?
Yeah.
Like they just let him talk like this. I'm like, fuck that. I'd fucking hit him or something. Damn.
Well, Mobius did.
Eventually, he hit him like five minutes too late.
You got to keep in mind, he's first high smart ranking, though.
Who gives a shit? He's a fucking prisoner with a collar on.
Yeah, but I'm saying he's high ranking.
So and when he abandoned his post, he quit.
Yeah, but I'm saying he's not just even like Loki. He was. They just drew him in because they didn't have nowhere else to put him.
I like this scene, though, where Brad talks all the shit, and then Loki just literally repeats it all back to him. He's like,
You're a silly man. You're a silly little man. It was pretty funny. That was very bad shit talking.
He really
the worst.
Tom Middleton, he can really act, man. He can. That dude, he's captivating, and the very best in the business are.
He makes skinny ties look good too. It's hard to pull off a skinny tie.
But I would agree.
I've got one, and I make it work. But it's difficult, and it's got to be even the right skinny tie too. So
interesting. I just can't see him being Bond. I just can't see it.
As much as I
like him,
I'd be into it.
I think you need.
We'll see him as the night manager, and then you'll believe.
Yeah, but I think he's got to be able to tackle people. He's got to
be
running through Cairo.
No, he needs to pull. He needs to pull a trigger.
He's got to be active.
Bro, he does that shit. Just watch the night manager. All the questions have already been answered. You just haven't taken the information in yet.
Have you seen Daniel Craig's Bond?
Dude,
he's active.
It's the best Bond ever. Daniel Craig is pinnacle Bond, peak Bond. I don't think he would be as good, but I don't think anyone will ever be as good as Daniel Craig was as James Bond.
But
honestly, it's going to be tough for me to get over him moving on.
He is Bond
to me.
What's Joe Magliano?
He's all right.
What's the dude?
I dug that shit, man.
Deathshot, Deathlock, the dude who's going to play the dude in... with the patch over his eye, he's the dead.
They all got patches over their eyes.
He's got the...
Oh, you're talking about Deadshot?
Yeah, no. Is that him? What's the dude? The big dude was married to the chick. Come on, bruv. He plays magic, actually. Joe Mangianello. That motherfucker right there.
What about him?
What about him?
What do you mean, what about him?
So we're covering Loki.
Yeah, I know.
What happened?
About James Bond. Him being James Bond. What the fuck is wrong with you dudes?
I don't know. But, yeah, so... Jesus Christ.
Okay. Okay. We're everybody's.
Oh, you want so him as James Bond? Now I see what was happening.
Yeah. I don't know. He started talking about magic and playing magic and stuff. Yeah. So oh boy, I was like, what are you talking about?
Say his name, Joe Manganiello.
Joe Manganiello.
Yeah. He plays.
He plays magic.
Yeah. He hosted and shit. He's on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he goes to Gen Con every year too. You can always run into him at Gen Con. Always, every single year, he's there. Yeah.
And he cut like an action figure.
No, he's just a regular dude, and then he gets into shape for movies. He looks like a just like a regular dad looking dude in
Mobius
person.
Hits him with the bitch slap.
Man, he did bitch slap his ass.
I like that because it was against type. They're playing good cop, bad cop, but intergalactically.
But they're not. We're about to have a conversation about how that wasn't good cop, bad cop. He actually got underneath Mobius's skin.
Yep, I like this one take shot or whatever it's called right here where they're walking down the hallway.
Oh, I love that shit. That shit's
crazy. Did you see how the drawer was open and he swiped past the drawer that was open?
Uh-huh.
That was pretty good.
I like this.
That was pretty good.
Man, that's cool.
It's funny when he's like, I was following you.
I like they're in an automat and all of these places that, to me, the at the end of time where the TVA is just a... you can do a whole series about being at the TVA. Like, when you look out that wide window, I'm like, what's going on out there? It's live action.
It is.
There's a lot of pie in this episode.
Lot of pie. I'm wondering, like,
we start on Key Lime Pie, and then we eventually end up at McDonald's Apple Pie.
But if you look around... there's pie in this whole room.
And it's all
key lime.
It's and it's well, first of all, that is the best pie. First of all, key lime is the best pie.
Have you ever had a key lime cheesecake?
Oh yeah, at the Cheesecake Factory. That shit is so
fucking hot.
What?
Yes, key lime pie is good.
One of my former ladies, the daughter of Peter Torekvay, who wrote and directed Real Genius, Val Kilmer's first movie, dated their daughter, Caitlin Torekvay. Yes, she once sent me, when we were together, a whole key lime cheesecake from the Cheesecake Factory. Had that shit delivered to my door. That it was literally like a fucking... one of those was like $100 or some shit. It was delivered in these cold packs. It was amazing.
That's so romantic, man.
A whole key lime cheesecake for myself, man, is pretty romantic. I will agree.
That she knew, she understood.
That was actually the coolest thing she ever did for me.
She understood the assignment on that.
She did.
Part,
yeah.
And you love on the rare occasion that they understand the assignment.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful thing, man. You'd be surprised. They'd have us in chains if they understood what the power of that actually was to fucking be good at something,
and to just be nice to you and treat you like.
Being a fucking human being and doing
shit for you. We do shit for y'all all day long.
As men, we're not taking it no more. This is what we're saying. This
hey,
is
yeah.
You're talking to my That's guy exactly all wrong. Correct. It's wrong tone.
Wrong tone.
Let's do it again. A stab in the face with a soldering iron.
It's wrong tone.
That's right.
Wrong tone. So we are plowing through.
Keep plowing.
So
episode 2.
Let's talk about this conversation that they have while they're having pie. And Mobius doesn't want to go see his life. Like, he's obsessed with jet skis, but he doesn't want to go actually ride one. Well, I don't get it.
He doesn't. Yeah. I think it's that he doesn't want to be tempted to leave the TVA because he doesn't want to see it. You know what I mean? He obviously feels like he's already drawn to something that he's never even done or seen.
I think he says that he's afraid of seeing a good life
that he's missed out on.
Yeah, probably.
I think he don't want to go out because think about how time works at the TVA.
How many times has it gotten broken? It's the same fucking nose since forever.
It's just been fucked up, and he never fixed it because it's part of his charm.
Think about how time works different.
Man, it looks awful in like this setting. I don't know if it's the lighting or what it is.
The lighting and the makeup because it's strong overhead lighting, and they don't have any underlight, and
like,
so
it looks
the ridge. They're doing it on purpose. They're doing it on purpose.
Yes, but think about the fact that time works differently, and so like how Obi's over 400 years old, he would then, when you leave the TVA and go into wherever your life was, you start clocking then, right? You got a regular, you're not going to keep on being 400 years old. You're going to start aging and being a regular person if you go to wherever your jet ski life was.
Well, yeah.
That's what I think.
In theory, they already have kind of proven, or we already kind of proven in the first one, that because Loki was time-slipping or whatever, that time does exist in the TVA. Because that's what it was before, that it was like kind of outside of time.
It still is. That's what I'm saying. But so if you go outside of the TVA back to your regular life in whatever year that you were happiest is what the point of this would be. So, but then you start aging and you're a regular human. You're not in that devoid of time.
In theory, yes. But there seems to be a lot of shit going on from what OB's messing with here, yes, that loom thing.
So why is OB, he still messing with the temporal aura extractor since they've already extracted the aura from the temporal?
But because remember, OB was visited 400 years apart by Loki and then Loki again. Do you remember that part?
So that right. But that was also in the TVA. So that's right. How time has to
exist
there.
So you know I'm saying mean? It. But yes, what kind of does exist that he is then that says OB is at least 400 years old? At least.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking
he was a full grown adult.
I'm thinking 400 that, like years I said, ago. So one way or the other, he's like the weird villain, and I think he might be a Kang variant. Like a shape-shifting Kang variant and, or
social.
There's a couple of them that can shapeshift.
OB is definitely
anything's possible, but
why is he working on fixing shit when everyone else is off camera?
I think they said that he is a variant of He Who Remains.
That doesn't really make sense.
It sure does.
No, it doesn't.
Why not?
Because they're all a variant of Kang.
Well, they're saying that he might be
a variant. So he would be a variant of Kang, not a variant of a variant.
All the Kangs are variants, aren't they?
No.
All the Kangs are individual Kangs.
Some of them are variants, one is not.
Okay. But you know, while we ponder that.
And who's to say that this is, reality prime as opposed to other universes in the multiverse.
This is true.
It's a quandary.
What type of centric would it be? We're going to
ponder that quandary to break it. Universal,
universo-centric.
I don't remember who I am. I don't know my name. Snuffabee, Huffabee, Fuckabee. Don't save that for later. I want to hear that in the fucking bit.
It's intermission. Rise and stretch time.
Hey, baby. It's the one and only Boba Fetish. As you already know, I slay bounties and booties across all rims, inner and outer. And once a week, I share my sultry, sweaty stories with you. But this week, I'm here to tell you about my new red light service, Bulba's Hose, in different area codes. Had your eye on that perky and perky Trandoshan? You saw me and Randy Shandy banging out last week at the sanctuary? Well, for a bounty, you can gain access to the comlinks in my little black book. Titillated by my takedowns? For about 200 credits, you can take down Ahsoka's more risky, but much more Randy sister, Ahoka. Complimentary death sticks provided, but back to tank use is not. Twi'leks? Gamorreans? You wanna bareback a chiss? Or play hide the wampa with a Mon Calamari? Anything's possible, baby, with Boba's Hose in different area codes. Time to get you a little strange. While you're getting a little strange.
Please take a moment to support the products and services of these magnificent sponsors.
Hey baby, you still up? Good girl.
It's time to set your comlink to the late night hour with Boba Fetish. The galaxy's greatest booty hunter is back, bringing in the thickest twilights, warm or cold. Tune in this week, where I'll be visiting Garza's sexy ass at the brand new Sanctuary. Now with dual Gamorrean-sized water slides. We'll be joined by Moff Gideon promoting his latest sex toy, the Darksaber. We even got a Hoka skank ass to try it out live on the show. And if that's not enough, baby, we got Sly Snoodles sitting in with our house band, Slave One, playing only your favorite hits from the original trilogy. You know, back when I was still a badass. Hey, Shandy, baby, give me my Fuck Favreau shirt. We're going to the cantina tonight. That's the late night hour with Boba Fetish.
And just like that.
That's how you do it.
This is just how you like do it. The Super Show, Sam Simeon, Kellen Wise, Belligerent Band. We're in the salon.
We made looking it.
At one of the best Disney Plus shows, if that is a credible statement to make.
Feels Loki, right.
Season 2, Episode 2, Breaking Bread. Right? That's what we're doing.
That's correct, yeah.
Breaking Bread. We're just getting through the paperwork, getting through to the details, and now to the nitty gritty.
To the torture scene.
So they didn't bring up the torture scene, but you know that they're used to the fact that they don't get tortured. So knowing that, especially with his rank, even if he's been defiled, his rank would prevent them from using certain tactics on him. So he's pretty cocky about the fact that none of that can happen. But the fact that you're dealing with an illusionist. He might
have
been
a little outside of his realm in the first place when he's like, none of you guys even have the rank to have me here. And they have him there. So
they have him there.
He might be...
no offense or buts. You're welcome, sir. Yes. But I like the isolation because you get to see more. Like I said, I want to explore the TVA because it's at the end of time. Outside of time, right? So since it's outside of time...
Allegedly.
Why is it not?
I don't know, man. It just has to be in time somehow. Or he can't.
Why is Obi 400 years old?
That's what I'm saying. How's Loki traveling back and seeing him 400 years in the past?
Yeah.
If there's no time there.
What do you mean?
How can you time travel in the TVA if there's no time?
What do you mean?
You tell me what you mean.
The event still took place in a different time.
No. No time. There is no time there until this season where Loki's slipping back and forth through time. You see what I'm saying?
No.
Why not? No. There is no time.
So.
But that's not ever been accurate because obviously there was a time where Kang was the ruler of the TVA, the timekeeper, whatever, and then put the robot timekeeper. You see what I mean? So I'm with you.
Have you watched this show?
I'm with you that yes, there is time, but they have made it seem that this is outside of time, but it's not. It can't be.
Well, okay, where did Brad go?
He went to the sacred timeline.
What do you mean? So, for instance, so when he went to that in the 70s, what happens to him physically as a person? He starts to then...
What do you mean? His physical form went to the 70s.
Yeah, but...
So you think he just falls apart in the 70s?
He's devoid. So if you're outside of time, then you wouldn't age. So everybody in this TVA is the age they are. But if you went outside the TVA, the effects of aging would affect you. Also, I didn't even think, why wouldn't that like super age him? Like Obi, if he left the TVA and went to 1987, would he not just shrivel up?
He just turns into dust.
So why wouldn't that work that way?
Because he doesn't age by walking through a doorway.
I think the way that you're thinking about time travel is more like linear. And this is what I was talking about in our last show where like there's time in the way that they're depicting it.
Why didn't Marty McFly turn into a sperm?
There you go.
Like,
see what I mean?
Because he went back in time.
Right.
He didn't de-age. He went back in time.
Right. But he, if
he's not de-aging. That's not what we're doing.
Now, if you're starting about now, if you're starting to talk about going and like killing your own dad or something like that and keeping you from being in existence, then still no. You make that version of yourself not exist, but the one that went back in time doesn't just disappear.
So we're starting the torture scene where the box is getting pretty small there on old X5. And what I really love about this is when he does that final shrink, you can actually see X5's arm flatten against the wall of the box.
Well, it looks like
you see the skin.
If you look at the corner of the box there, it looks like it's like almost cracked. Like it's been used all the way to smoosh. You see the corners of it, the edges of it look like they're kind of distressed.
Yeah, and so I'm wondering like if they made a series of boxes that he's actually physically in, or if he's like standing on a platform and actually acting correctly. I don't know. I was just really curious about how they filmed this piece, because you're right, you can see like scuffs on the shit, and so I would think he's actually in a prop box, but how are they making it get smaller like that? That shit, this is just filmed so well, and I'm just really curious how, like, you can see his hand, like the skin on his hand pressing against the wall, so it's like there's something physical, but they I don't know how they make it fucking shrink, dude.
I don't know, but
I dig it. He has him in the tiniest little box before.
See, you see his elbow and his arms. See, like that's just pressing up against something physical.
That's some shit you wouldn't want to be in.
I don't want to be in that.
Yeah,
you're right. But how did they make it shrink in that scene? Sorry, I just was really.
It's magic, fucking Loki. What do you think? Hello.
What? I'm talking about how they filmed this scene.
They Loki just turned on the camera. Loki just did it.
Right, okay.
Action, gotcha. Loki.
And so X5 gives up the information.
That he does.
Of course.
And he got a new life.
And now you know my man's going to be on his way. Autobots, roll out.
You like that door right there? Because it really gave me X-Men vibes the first time I saw it.
It sure did, because I guarantee you that was intentional.
Yeah.
You think so? Because I was thinking about that too, and I'm like, okay, so...
It reminds me of candy, are we seeing like a candy bar.
Could Obi maybe be the maker of the X-Men Cerebro, or the thought of it, or this, like that same concept?
I don't know. It'd
be kind of cool.
I mean, it's a good idea. I don't know. The practicality of that, if you will.
Why not? Their X-Men are existing on one of these branches that just got pruned, probably. Well, maybe not one.
They said they're going to reboot the whole thing, so it's a reboot, bruv.
And then even better. Back, so that's, they pruned the old Fox verse, and then it's a whole new.
So now I'm interested by this Ouroboros might be a Kang variant thought. He wrote the TVA handbook.
You see what I mean?
There's some questions that
I have when you're the one that wrote the manual. You're the only one that can fix the problems that are arising. Now he's running into the issue of needs the temporal aura of the dude that made the time loom,
Seeing theories that they're bringing Victor Timely
is who they're probably going to go get his aura. It is the same person. It's just he sends himself into the future to the end of time. So, in theory, that should work.
Lots of interesting.
That might be what we do next week. I wonder if we go back into the past. Because if you guys have watched the trailer, I'm assuming, there's definitely different set pieces in different episodes, it looks like. There's like one where Renslayer's back in the past. Looks like they're at like a circus or a carnival or something like that.
I can vouch for this show. I'm impressed by it. It's been pretty accurate. It's a show called Emergency Awesome, and they were saying that all of these different, when they do a promo now, them and even DC to a degree, they're starting to cut it where it isn't just scenes from the next episode.
Yeah.
It's just scenes from throughout the series.
Right.
So it really leaves you guessing when you're going to see
especially that scene. With, the last few, like Endgame is a good example. they'll modify the trailers as well. They'll cut things out, add things that aren't there.
Right, correct.
They don't want to give you all the deets. Like, I forget what it was in Endgame, but they, like, completely X'd out two of the people that were, like, walking in that scene of them to go to the thing. They didn't want you to know, like, who existed or whatever at the time.
And then we see adorable Sylvie, with her
at Whack Arnold's, man. And they got the full McDonald's like treatment. They got the logos. They got the McNuggets. They got all of it.
Cash registers, bro. They nailed the set piece here.
Like, those are the exact same fucking cash registers. Like,
this fucking the little playland with the tree, the little table there. I used to sit in those little, like, every McDonald's used to have those back in the day.
Those ugly ass fucking giant uniforms. Jesus Christ,
it was, man, real life. What year did they say this is in? 82. 1982.
Now, what did you say was the significance of that place? Because you mentioned to us before when they showed her at McDonald's landed, you told us that the place that they were at had some sort of significance. Now I'm not remembering.
Oh, Broxton?
Yes.
That's where New Asgard goes in the comic books.
And it's about to have a cataclysm, they said.
A cataclysm.
That's why X5 needs to leave, is because shit's about to go down again. But which doesn't make sense, because she said that she's not running anymore. She started a life, so she doesn't know shit's about to go down.
Right.
But she did too much damage to just run and hide. So that's why she's...
I don't think she's hiding, man. She's working the register at fucking Whack Arnold.
Well, I mean, it's not like they didn't find her. It's not... That wasn't whatever the plan actually ever was. The plan, they didn't give a fuck about finding her. They want to prune all the timelines.
Yeah.
Is what X5 and the Doc's chick's goal is.
Yeah.
Which I guess right now she would kind of be like the bad guy or bad girl, whatever the fuck you want to call
her. So do they...
That's not a formidable
villain. Would they work at McDonald's? Is that time I get proven?
I'm just going to say she's less attractive. I don't think so. She's very less attractive in a McDonald's uniform as opposed to her skin tight.
Like she looks like one of those chicks that claims right now that she... that's what I was going to say. That claims that she's a hairdresser but then has a boy's fucking Pat Benatar haircut.
It's 1982.
Nah, man. That shit is not hot then. She's
adorable, though. Agreed. So that's
a lot of chicks are walking around with those motherfuckers right now, like damn near mullets. Right. Like, are you sure?
I work with a goddamn lot of them, I assure you. Man, there is... Like, this set piece is great.
Yes.
That fucking that brick McDonald's with the steps walking up, how does that even exist? Like, that violates fucking... equal access laws and everything else. Like, you can't have steps up into a McDonald's. You have to have a ramp.
They didn't give a fuck in the 80s.
Well, right, but that's cocaine. The point. It's the
racing up those steps.
That's the authenticity of this.
There were no handicapped people in 82.
That's true.
So that's why they could do that.
That's true. That just happened in 1983 and after.
1983 is the number. Yeah, but I like her hair, though. This is an adorable look for her.
You like her hair?
I don't like it.
Nah.
I need her back in her skin tight
look. Get back in the look. Yeah, immediately.
She needs to suit back up.
That's better, of course. I'm talking about the haircut with the little cap. It's tight.
I like how Loki's trying to recruit her, and she does not give a fuck. I'm like, well, bitch, last time I saw you, you kissed me and then pushed me through the thing and stabbed dude in the chest. Like, I didn't do anything wrong.
Right. Like, why should I have pissed at him? That's what I didn't understand. I was trying to
reason with you. Like, why are you so mad at me?
Oh, man. Mobius got his apple pie. Two pies for Mobius in one fucking episode. God bless him.
Man, that is right.
Man, but you creep me out with that visuals on his nose.
It was funny when he's talking to Mobius.
Yeah, it looks normal now. It's the lighting.
He's like, I thought you were bringing us down here for some kind of ambush or something. And you brought us down here for a great meal.
Yeah, that was good.
But to be honest, I mean, that's back when, like, they were actually cooking the patties and shit. Right. Like, that was when they actually cooked. Did you know that Taco Bell actually had pans in which they put amounts of ground beef, and they actually fried it in the store. That occurred as recently as the 1980s. Amazing. It's true.
Not cost effective.
That was great. That was great. Benji Bats, that was great.
But I mean, still, it.
But what as just speaks as to, purveyors of Taco Bell at that time, was it better?
Than what now?
I never had Taco Bell at that point.
No,
I occasionally got Arby's, but my family was very against restaurants as an institution. We can make it cheaper at home.
Yep. I had both extremes. Make it at home, pink burger with the fucking juice coming through, and also out to eat type stuff. So I'm down the middle. But I think back in the day, especially, I know for a fact it's going to sound old as fuck, but these McDonald's fries do not taste like they used to, which maybe not be an old thing because maybe every you guys in the same
no, way. No, I mean, I don't think
they used to cook them in lard. Now they don't.
I don't think they taste like that. Yeah. Well, I don't think they taste like they used to even from when I used to work there.
Go back to the lard. That shit was fire.
Nah, lard fucks up my guts, man. I'm cool on that.
If you have fries, you're like, yeah, I'll have to take a gut pill.
No.
Gotta go take a giant lard.
I had an Amish pie, a deep fried Amish pie that was fried in lard.
Fried Amish pie.
Yep.
What that the fuck is a fucked deep fried me up. Amish pie?
Like it's like you know when you go to the you get the hostess pies. She's a bad guy. You know the hostess pies where it's just like a half moon of sweet bread with pie filling inside. It's like a hostess pie. It was exactly like that, but it was made by Amish people and fried in lard, and it fucked me up.
That fucking sounds delicious.
I'm sure it might be delicious to you, but it fucked my guts up. So.
What if you pinch that and that's like the linchpin to your whole body and you shut yourself down?
Yeah, no, that's not how I work. It's okay. We're all right. So we've discovered the plot by the Scottish bitch to...
Sylvie enchanted X5 and got the info.
Yeah. And they're just blowing up. But they're
already just blowing up timelines like crazy right now.
That's why he was freaking out because he knew that timeline was going to blow up. That's what the cataclysm is. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah, X5
1. These motherfuckers working fast.
I'm with you guys. I don't understand exactly what happened. So did they not hit her timeline or did they hit her timeline and didn't get everybody for some reason?
Because she goes, no,
she goes back and there's one person left, but there's nobody else that we see in that whole scene when she goes back in time. I think
she goes back to a different timeline because hers was gone. That was my interpretation.
Yeah, that could be as well. I didn't think about that.
I mean, we see all the branches go at the end of this on the graph.
Am I right? It's all but three?
Well, you see the final three obliterate towards the end.
Yeah, but keep in mind, because there's no He Who Remains, and all of those branches that are going into the time loop...
It's going to start branching.
It's just going to keep branching. Yeah. Anytime that you go a variant, like anytime that Loki or Sylvie does something on this timeline, it's going to create a branch because they're not supposed to be there doing what they're doing. See what I mean? So they did fuck everything up, but it kind of they basically just reset the Marvel universe. Like anything that we didn't like to do with Fox shit, old Fantastic Four shit, Spider-Man's, all that shit. They basically can just say that they bombed up everything out there.
That's what they should have done.
Shit you don't like. Should have seen Eternals shit you don't like. They can just doesn't exist.
Yeah. We should have seen like old Fox stuff, maybe like just little hints of old Fox stuff.
It would have been cool to see things like get bombed. You know what I mean? Right. Or even if they just take this scene in the new X-Men, like as a start or something like that. Like their shit gets bombed out and it's new X. Like
Sylvie came back.
Things could have just basically changed dramatically for the Marvel universe, and you don't really even know it because you haven't seen the ripple yet.
So I read a very interesting article today.
Who is this Marvel chick right here? 15?
Yeah, V15.
Marvel Studios was shocked that Quantumania flopped.
What?
They were shocked. They thought that they had a winner. And the audience reception to that told everyone at Marvel Studios, all the people in charge, that they no longer knew how to connect with their audience. And so it brought about a host of different changes and a host of, like, I guess they do focus groups or whatever the fuck. And so now Marvel is aware that it's fucking up and they're trying to course correct.
Yeah, I was reading something about that with Daredevil, that it's like a blessing in disguise of all the people that have left and all the fucking directors and shit. Like,
I think that's a part of.
If you can't even get one of your oldest, best characters that people have looked forward to, and already was successful on fucking Netflix without any of our shit, like what? But I was reading that the script that they had going on didn't even have him in suit for half the thing, and it was basically
until episode four,
for lack of a better term, a love story.
Correct. I was like, it was a law procedural and love story.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? Who wants to watch that? Dude, a who badass it?
Because Marvel's fucking Marvel up, character. Man. Like, Marvel fucking
the,
up.
The coolest At least parts they know of him, now. The coolest parts of him should be like hand to hand fucking fight scenes.
It's part of the reason why they delayed Secret Wars to 2027. It's because of Quantumania and the fact that.
But I know just, Benji Bats, I know you have a strong opinion.
They're trying
on
to
it,
fix
but
the.
I feel like they
the
just
now.
Weren't wrong, but I felt all these movies, including Quantumania, were just really. Mediocre, like
it's not that they were it's not wrong. Just that they were mediocre, it's that they committed a cardinal sin and the audience rejected the movie because they allowed a minor character like Ant-Man. Now we love Ant-Man, but he's a minor character and he defeated Kang by himself, which was simply unacceptable, and it removed all stakes from everything. It's so funny that some of the feedback that Marvel Studios got from their focus groups was the exact things that we talked about here on the Super Show.
Yeah.
So, hey, Marvel executives, just listen to the fucking Super Show and stop paying for goddamn focus groups, because we'll unfuck your shit, okay?
I mean, visually, it was fine. And it could have been a totally different movie if Kang just won. Like
He needed to win.
That would have just made it.
Scott needed to die.
That would have just made it.
I didn't want him to die, but he needed to die.
Right.
Like,
right.
that was the natural conclusion to that story.
Right.
Or
especially if you're talking about a regular human dude in a cloth suit fighting a fucking cosmic
time god.
Right.
He's the god of time. And he was defeated by an amethyst.
Yep.
That
goddamn Paul Rudd's pretty handsome.
Yeah.
Well, he was, and as we noted in this most recent Quantumania, he is showing his age.
Indeed, yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. But it gets everybody.
It does.
Father Time is undefeated.
Victor Timely is undefeated.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Father Victor Timely. So we see.
I do not like that haircut. I do not.
It works for
but
this character.
But what is she holding on to?
I do not like that,
Sam.
I am.
She has an advanced temp pad that no other.
That's what that's supposed to be, because it was it's what she got from He Who Remains when she killed him.
Yeah.
It just, we never really knew what it was, but obviously she's still holding on to it for some reason.
Yeah. I have the best Who Would You Do ever. I'm going to fuck you both up with this shit.
I bet you're not, because I got the best one.
Nope.
Oh, so man. Before we grade this,
mine's better.
No, let's do this. Let's
so,
one second. Let's take a quick break.
Okay.
This is Kellen the Wise, broadcasting live from Tashi Station, and here with today's sponsor. From the makers of Boba Fetish's finest Carillion brandy comes Qui-Gon's Gin, triple distilled with hand-picked juniper berries from Hoth and Anakin's Metachlorians. Looking for the courage to fight Darth Maul one-on-one and not run like a little womp rat? Or possibly your master was killed in front of you, and you're looking to drown out the cries of the dark side in a bottle of the finest Rodian hooch this side of the Inner Rim? Then stop by your nearest Loki's Liquor, Check Cashing, and Power Converters today. Due to sanctions from the Jedi Council, we must inform you that Qui-Gon's Jinn will not improve reaction time, proficiency to wield a lightsaber, perform any mind tricks or other Jedi abilities. However, it will give you the ability to get stabbed in the gut like a bitch. I mean, seriously, Chandy made it.
Good evening. I am Lord Macadel Barry Terrycloth III. Welcome to the Royal Deluxe. A secret funk bunker full of that extra gutter shit. Raw hip hop. Uncut. Nasty, in a Miss Jackson kind of way. Tonight's show is Rabid Gorillas. Brought to you by WeTax FM. They want their tax by coin or carnage, motherfucker. Let's go.
It's intermission. Rise and stretch time.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
This tracksuit Yuri. Even when show change, Yuri still bring deal to you. Tatooine fine, working on 10, chapstick keep lip from cracking. You sick of dumb, tiny Jawa steal your ship part? They annoy you with weird squiggle talk. Puny stature offend sense of proportion in world around you? Tired of coming home to your shack and seeing stupid little men scurry off with your favorite Mariah Carey CD? Call Bro Extermination. 555-4-BRO. We show up, plastic tracksuit, baseball bat, we get to work. You prefer humane Jawa removal? We make trap, you pay more. We kick their ass after we leave your property, no problem. They say doing work you love is no work at all. Rely on your local own Jawa Terminator. Russian haven't had this much fun since Rocky IV. 555-4-BRO. Call today. Now back. Very, very dangerous. Very super show.
Now, Sam Simeon, I need to give you some flowers on a few points here.
All right, good.
So at one point you told me that Lioness was the best show on television. And I have to say, that's a pretty fucking good show.
It's decent.
I can't say it's the very best. I mean, that's saying a lot. I just said
the best on TV at the time it was on.
Okay, that's fair. Really enjoy that show. I'm about halfway through it. Very impressive. Some really fucking awesome shit going on there. You also recommended The Continental. Yeah. Now, I'm going to recommend that for show cover. I think we should knock out all three episodes in one super show because it's a lot of fighting, and we, you know, one can only say, wow, cool kick so many times. So, you know, we really sort of need to cover the story aspect of it, I would say. King of Tulsa, also a very interesting show. I'm enjoying it. And so flowers for that one as well. Good recommends.
Absolutely. Well, I thought we had talked about the possibility of actually doing, you said, a three episode Continental.
Feels right.
Mo Green was interested in that because we will...
Next shout week, out.
Shout out to the head ambassador.
Oh, so do that we'll show with Mo Green in Miami.
Miami this right? time next week.
Yes.
Benji Bax will be getting set up.
No, Benji will be there. We'll be there the next day.
But shout out to the illustrious head ambassador. And we will be
see
down
you soon, bro.
Doing shows and fun Miami and Beach activities. So we will be getting into all types of shenanigans as well as celebrating the awesome birthday of Belligerent Ben for the Win, Benji Bats.
As well as so, as many single moms as possible.
So now, before we grade this, I want to do the Who Would You Do?
Oh, yes.
People need to accept.
Benji's too excited about his answer, so I'm going first.
Okay.
Renee Zellweger.
Oh,
everyone would do her.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
With that weird face?
Dude, she was the hot girl in Show Me the Money.
I don't think she's been the hot girl in anything, personally.
She's been the hot girl in a lot of stuff, yeah.
Oh, man.
It's okay. Yeah. I mean, it still counts, I guess.
Like hot sausage. okay, but you was already primed and ready. You've been had it written down for
I'm
going
to go with Kristen Schaal. Now, Kristen Schaal is an interesting voice actor. She was on Flight of the Navigator.
Flight of the Concords.
Okay. She does voices for Bob's Burgers. She was also in the movie where Michael Scott makes little mice people. She's Paul Rudd's
like
secretary.
Or,
secretary.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And she's always saying funny shit. So she's funny. Right. She's got a banging body, and
but,
you know,
But you, right. you wouldn't just tell someone.
Just hit it from the back.
She's definitely a quirk. That was quality. So I think
I feel like that's my craziest. Who would you do thus far?
V15.
You're on the B-15. Okay.
I had a feeling, man. Once the MAMS came out, yeah, I was like, man.
Fucking jugs, bro. She's got some fucking cassava
when
melons.
When she was dressed up like in as Etta James or whoever it was.
This is
she was dressed up as Etta James. That was I thought that was her costume. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I think so.
She looked good. But
I wouldn't. This isn't out in public. This is like 2 a.m. What are you doing?
You
then
sleep?
I would go over to B-15's house. Like,
hey, girl,
like,
you sleep?
No.
About them titties.
No. Don't turn the lights on. But I would
get like, them titties out.
But I'm saying
I'm going to make a drink real quick.
I wouldn't be where it's like gross, like I couldn't get through it. I'm just saying that all of these, who would you do? They have to be someone that is almost like, I'll tell you, but I kind of don't want
to
tell.
But I might have to kill you.
Yeah. So back to the show. We've had more of the conversation about the show than the show went. What will we grade this? I'm going to tell you right now, it was an A for me. I liked it. It wasn't anything that stood out to make it an A+, but it was an A to me. Yep. I liked the entire show.
I liked it as well. A.
Yep. Certified A. Yep.
Certified A. Can we
just I think it's going to be a common theme throughout this series.
I think Ahsoka will probably rate slightly higher, but just based off of what we've seen so far.
The action.
But we do have a lot of episodes left, and this could get really crazy, so I'm leaving it out there. Yeah. It might be on par with Ahsoka.
Yep.
Ahsoka is peak.
We're hitting episode 3 this week, so we're halfway there this week. For me.
So in the as we get to check, in the immortal words of Margaret Thatcher, keep it gangster.
This has been the Super Show. We thank you for your support, and until next time. Do more, say less, and get your shit together. I have been Lord Macadell, Barry Terrycloth III. Class? Dismiss.